You're listening to Binging the Devil's Fruit, a One Piece manga read-through podcast where the best fruits are the ones you savor and are best enjoyed taking your time consuming. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Binging the Devil's Fruit. This is episode 77 of the podcast. I am your host, John Mugiwara, JM, joined as always by my co-host, Jack Peanut.
Hey, and things are getting intense. Like, Nico Robin is now our betrayed the Straw Hat crew, and now they have to catch her before they assassinate the mayor of Water 7.
Because they're going to try it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's getting real.
Yeah, before we start, I have a personal story I'd like to share with you all that's deeply related to this series. So, on a whim, this past weekend when I'm recording this, this is like, what, December that this is going out now? This was like the beginning of October, the very first weekend of October of this year. I had a little bit of spare time, a little bit of spare money, and I had realized that there is another convention taking place at the exact same venue as Too Many Games, and I saw that several voice actors from the One Piece anime were coming as guests, particularly Colin Klinkenbeard, the voice of Luffy, Lucy Christian, the voice of Nami, and several others in cartoon and anime fandom were going. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going, even if I just go for the day, because a day ticket was $35. Treat yourself, especially since I've been having cabin fever while I'm between jobs. So I did get a chance to meet Colin Klinkenbeard. And if you're on the video version of the podcast, I'm going to put the pictures up right now. I met Colin Klinkenbeard. I met Lucy Christian. I damn near melted talking to them because they're so very, very nice. And I got to talk at length with them about my experience with going through the One Piece series. But also, as a last-minute decision, I also met Justin Cook, who is a legendary anime voice actor. Many you might know him as Raditz from Dragon Ball. He's Yusuke in Yu Yu Hakusho. But for One Piece, he's the voice of Bellamy and a character you have not met yet.
Oh.
Yep. And I had a conversation with him about Bellamy that I can't get into too much with you because you haven't gotten that far.
But, he comes back?
Okay, yes, but far, far, far later from where you are.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, Bellamy will show up again, but it would not for a very long time in terms of where you are now. Bellamy, Justin Cook also voices another character that's major in One Piece. So the conversation I was having with him was like when Bellamy came back, I'm like, is that still Justin Cook voicing him? He sounds different. And I said to Justin, oh, as soon as you started yelling, I knew it was you. And he thought that was funny. All right. Well, without further ado, that was fun. I would love to do that convention again. And apparently that convention is happening again in the exact same place right before Too Many Games. So depending on the guest list, I don't know. Maybe we'll do that one instead. You're probably pissed off, though, because the has-been verse cast was all there. Yeah, they had their own section, like, next to where I was. And I'll tell you, before we start, compared to Too Many Games, yeah, it was lighter on crowd size, but it was more organized, more spacious, and had more events going on.
Nice.
And parking was easy. Well, probably because Animate Philadelphia is, like, a relatively new company, and Too Many Games has been around for, like, 20 years. So, and I guess it's just different how things are handled. Plus, it's, like, totally different. This one's, like, more geekdom as a whole focused, like anime, cartoons, video games, all that. While Too Many Games is more focused on like video game voice actors and YouTubers and retro game. I only saw one retro game stand. One.
Oh, damn.
As opposed to the hundreds that were at Too Many Games. Remember how many there were?
Yeah.
Animate Philadelphia only had one. Everything else was either artists, cosplay props, posters, merch, some guests that were not advertised, and I could not escape K-pop Demon Hunters if I tried, because many of the booths were just playing their songs on loop the whole day. But hey, new record for longest intro to Binging the Devil's Fruit. Let's get started. That was important and related to One Piece, though, so it matters. Let's hop in. If you'd like to read along with us while we binge the Devil's Fruit, Shonen Jump has their entire manga library available for
$3.99
a month. No, we're not being paid to say this. I just think it's a really good deal, and it's probably the easiest way to read along with us because omnibuses and manga volumes of the earlier volumes are hard to come by. But if you happen to have those with you, those work as well. Don't forget that when you hear this sound while listening, that means it's time to turn the page. Anyway, enjoy the read-through, everybody. Chapter 342, The Messenger of Darkness.
If that choose unexpected life in the blue sea, volume 26, Hinja's ocean floor bus service begin. And enough to god giant Hinja crab.
Yeah, you remember.
Set of bus service, yeah.
That's the pervert crab that they ride on an alabaster.
Oh, right, him.
The one that they made faster when Nami and Vivi flashed him. So now he has a job. And hopefully isn't motivated by boobs.
He's a titty pincher.
Anyway, okay. You're starting.
Well, your straw hat! Yep, it's back to Frankie and his sisters. I thought he had some spine to him. Why won't he come out and fight? Well, bro, right now the entire island hates him. He must be trying to get it away. Hey, what's with you two? Why are you walking sideways? Sure enough, they're walking sideways.
There's a very good reason for why they're walking sideways.
We're bad at walking into strong winds. Anyhow, it's real to see you so worked up, bro. You're honing something in. That's not like you. Shut up! That's just how I am this week! Hey, bro! Bro over here! And sure enough, it's the rest of the Frankie family. Did you stick it to him? Not yet. Something big got in my way. The punks escaped. Up, got away from you when you were in a rage? Man, were they ever lucky. I see. That super weak long nose dweeb is out repairing the ship by himself. So I figured you got the rest of them. What? You found one? Yeah, on the ship.
Alright. This'll go faster if we got one of them. We can use him to draw out the rest. Whoa, bro's making an evil face! So here's the plan. You guys walk around town and yell this. We have long nose! If you don't want us to drown in the ocean, come to the warehouse under the bridge! And I'll go right now and make that the truth. Yeah, we're on it, bro! Leave it to us! And then back to the mayor's office in
Galilee
the Galilee building.
Company.
Keep up your guard! If we all let someone slip through, it'll be a disgrace to Galilee! As the rear entrance. We've got the base surrounded. There are no blind spots. And Chopper's looking at them through binoculars. Everyone's got weapons. And they look tough. Why, of course. The shipwrights here will wrestle the pirates to the ground.
If we jump in without a plan, things could get bad. Look who's saying that now. Now he's head drooping. If you see any movement, let us know right away. You can count on me. It's going to be a long night. But don't get careless. If we let this chance slip by, we'll never find out the truth. Consider this our last chance to find out if Robin's on our side. We'll catch her. All right, count on it. As the wind blows. And the wind's blowing as Taklitz. And back in the bedroom. Khalifa? Yes, Mr. Iceberg. Would you leave me for a while? Of course, sir. And call Polly in. Turn the page.
And then outside his bedroom are the main foremen of Galilee, Talstone, Lucci, Lulu, Kaku, and Polly. From rightward order. Polly?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Iceberg has something important he wants to discuss.
With me?
Yes, alone. I shall be in the secretary's office. Call me if you need anything.
His last will and testament, huh?
Lucci punches him. What could be so important at a time like this?
It must be important. Hurry up and find out. Should we move away from the door a little?
And then Paul enters the Iceberg's room and sits down. Meanwhile, the rest of them discuss what could possibly be going on.
Yes, I understand.
This may come with great risk. I've thought long and hard, but you're the only one I can ask. Do you accept? You make it sound like we're strangers. Leave it to me. In that case, well then, I'll get right to it. Good. Ooh, what could they have talked about? Asked Polly, he exits the bedroom. Yeah, it gave me an errand. Sorry, but do you mind if I leave for a little while? Sure, the four of us will be enough. And back in the... Mr. Iceberg does not look... he's looking nervous. Since it's inside the clock and how the storm's really picking up around Water 7.
And then Polly enters another room. You know, he's in front of the president's office. The president's office. And he remembers Weisberg's words that we did not get to hear. Peel back the carpet under the desk in the president's office to find the built-in safe. This must be it. I'm going to tell you the combination, so listen closely. First, six right as he's opening the safe that was under the carpet. And the wind picks up. And then a transponder snail is ringing as two shadowy figures are on the roof. Boing, boing, click. Everyone ready?
Ready, Nico Robin.
Yes, anytime. Yep, and it's a man of big bear mask sitting next to Nico Robin, who's also wearing a disguise of her own. His is better because that's a mask, and, well, she's wearing a Phantom Thief mask. And I'm going to create a distraction. The four of you will carry out your assignments as soon as you see the signal.
And boom, oh, there's a large explosion on the side of the building. What was that? Did somebody fire at us? No, I didn't see anything this way. It was planted. Create the flashy signal. Here we go. What was that? It sounded like an explosion. Whoa, that was an explosion. Oh, God. The Jabba's face asked the Straw Hats react. First floor, north corner. Is everyone all right? Leave half the men at the post. We still haven't seen the enemy. As Mr. Iceberg stood in the room.
Mayor Iceberg, are you all right?
Yes, only started.
At least you remember that he yells everything he says, even if you don't remember his name.
We spotted someone! He's in disguise! Go get him! Leave him to me!
What are you talking about? I'm going to kill him! Hey, wait, you two! As Tileston and Lulu go out to aid the people out front, but Kaku and Lucci are still on the chairs outside the office. And, oh, there's somebody in another Phantom Thief outfit with a razor whip. Yeah, it's a thorny rose whip.
Get up! What's the problem? It's just one man!
And the person uses the thorn whip to launch themselves into the roof of the building. But they find more Galilaa foremen in front of them.
You didn't think we'd leave the roof unguarded, did you?
Stand down if you want to live. You people are no match for me.
Two are coming from this way. Don't let them get away. Well, you've memorized the layout of the mansion, haven't you, Nico Robin? Yes. And back at the Straw Hats. Wow, it's getting pretty rowdy. Where's Luffy? What?
I said, Where do you think he went?
Nami realized he's gone. And it's back in the mayor's office. This is the thing Mr. Iceberg was talking about. Well, so that's where Mr. Iceberg was keeping it. Hand it over. You can't know how valuable it is. Yet another cliffhanger.
Oh, this episode's going to be full of them. I'm sorry.
Want to be Oda?
Yeah, I always start.
Oda Sensei, gosh, Nami's just too cute. That beauty, that figure, I'm just crazy about her. By the way, how's Nami gotten curvier compared to the way she was at Volume 1? Shoei-chan.
I see my letter to Oro finally arrived. Yes, I get that question a lot, but it's Nami's 18, if you think about it. She's still growing. She's not done yet. I'll try my best. Robin's only 28, too. I'll try my best. Question mark on both.
Hello. Question for ya. In One Piece, what do you base the balance on? Are they based on strength? If that's the case, then isn't about 80 million berries too low for Crocodile? Let's go hide the more evil you've done. Or was that a mistake on your part? Because of this matter, a forehead flicking free for is playing itself out all over my school. Please help me, Master Donuts.
Yes, if you think hard about this, it's actually a difficult problem. The seven warlords of the sea are allied with the government, and when a pirate joined up, his bounty was canceled. For this reason, Pirates of the Seven Warlords at Sea have former bounties of zero berries recorded, but Baroque Works was secretly formed after Crocodile became one of the Seven Warlords at Sea, so the added level of danger isn't included in the calculation of the bounty. If we factor all of that in for Crocodile, his bounty would probably jump to at least twice its current 88 million berries. Or is that 81? I can't tell. I think it might be 81.
And let's see. There's gonna... But trying to think of a segue. Damn it.
Here's one. Next chapter is Chapter 343, Cipher Pole Number 9.
Gadatu's Unexpected Life in the Blue Sea, Volume 27. The Princess and her entourage pay a visit.
There's Vivi.
It's been a while since we saw her.
Vivi, Igaram, Chaka, and Pell, and of course, who could forget Karu?
The loyal duck.
Okay. It's really funny because like Vivi has no perceivable idea that he knows the Straw Hat Pirates. All right, it's my turn to start. Yep, and it's the guy in the big bear mask and Robin as they are surrounded by Galley Lawmen. We got you surrounded, pirates! You can't escape this time! Give yourselves up! Can you believe their nerve? Don't move, pirates! Scum, shirt, true faces! As the man in the bear mask reaches into his pocket. He's gonna try something! Shoot him! But then he throws his cape up and they open fire on the cape. But as the holes appear in the cape, he's gone. What? They're gone!
I see Siren is at full time. Ah! And yeah, we see a lot of the security getting their asses kicked. Hey, are you alright? What happened? So strong. What was that? That whip user ran through the air. Ran through the air? And they see the masked figure from the last chapter. Don't say I didn't warn you. That's one guy who tries to strike about him. He jumped moonwalk.
And yeah, the masked figure with the whip is literally doing multiple jumps in the air, just propelling their feet up. How in the world does nothing but air, but he's jumping around? Thorny road as this figure... is it too much of a spoiler if I reveal their gender? It's not going to tell you who they are.
Sure.
It's a woman. I'll just say it's a woman. Thorny Road. Ah! And then she jumps into the courtyard. The intruder landed in the courtyard! Follow me! And then we go back to the outside the president's office where Polly is being confronted by two more of the masked intruders. Who are you? Where did you come from? We come from the shadows, though we are agents of justice.
Yeah, there's one of them wearing a scarlet yellow with a bull. Undercover intelligence agency, Cipher Pole Number 9. No matter how you got in, you had to have run into some of our men. There may have been casualties, or maybe not, as blood is dripping from their hands. It's hard to remember such trivial details. So this is no longer as gentle as an assassination is...
That's Polly talking.
So this is no longer as gentle as an assassination, is it? I don't recall saying anything of the sort. We're here for Miss Iceberg's personal item. Head it over. Furthermore, since you know what it is we are after, I'm afraid we'll have to kill you now.
And then back outside, the commotion outside. Did you find who left by the back door? What about the man inside the mansion? There are guards all by the windows and doors, but no one's seen anything. Look out for the whip user! It's on the other side of this wall. Good. Now push. And then the man with the bear mask puts himself against the wall. Robin pushes him, and he makes a door in the wall. And it leads right to Mayor Iceberg's room. Well, now you know how they disappeared.
Oh, wow.
And Iceberg is just taken aback by this, and then the bear mask man politely closes the wall door he made. As he starts walking,
you startled me. I knew you'd come, but never from there. Did you use the same means as yesterday? I don't remember there being a door there.
It's the power of the door, Dwarf Root. However thick the wall, wherever I touch, it becomes a door. And he brandishes a pistol. As long as there is a wall, I can get in and out of anything.
And he just straight up shoots him. What are you? There hasn't been a signal yet, as Mr. Iceberg falls on the ground, clutching his wound. Using harmless if he has the energy to talk. Just as famous chefs are careful to prepare their ingredients in advance, so it is only professional for us to restrain him and keep him from acting against us unexpectedly before the signal. Is that the CP9 way? As Robin seems to have a look of realization. Good guess, you're right. I've done something terrible to that Straw Hat boy. He wasn't a part of this, was he? It's nothing to concern yourself over. You just said you saw me last night, which is true. That was part of your strategy, too?
Correct. We let you live yesterday so we could the blame would fall on the pirates. Besides, if we had killed you sooner, we wouldn't have found out where you had hidden the blueprints for a certain ship. For generations, they have been passed down from shipwright to shipwright, handed down secretly from master to apprentice. If you felt that your life were in danger, you would undoubtedly would have tried to entrust the plans to someone. And the man you chose was Pauly, the foreman of Dock 1. Our comrades are on their way to take care of him right now.
So you mean everything is going according to your plan?
I'll take care of the shipwrights outside the door, so that we can finish this without a hitch. I'll leave you, Nico Robin, to finish him. Once our comrades have the blueprints from Pauly, they will contact us, and when they do, you will take Iceberg's life. Then we'll erase Pauly, since he knows the truth about this. Our mission will be accomplished. The best part is, the Straw Hat Pirates will take the blame for everything.
I can't believe him. Why is he always like this one? And why won't he take our prize as the Straw Hats try to catch up to Luffy? He's never done that. Then you know it.
And Robin could be in the middle of all this, couldn't he? What should we do?
We had to proceed carefully. Depending on how I look at it, we might be in luck. If we got into the enemy camp, do you think he'd sneak around the back or try to get in from the side? No way.
Not a chance. Do you think he's gotten through the gate front by now? Either running or flying, and though he's mainly inside, he doesn't know where to go, and the shipwrights are after him.
Oh wait, that's not me speaking shit. Drop my phone. Sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so too. To the shipwrights, Luffy is a criminal ringleader. Once he shows up, all eyes will be him, meaning we can probably count on the guards at the entrance to have thinned out. We'll grab the chance to blend in with the shipwrights in confusion. And, of course, so we got the perfect chance to sneak inside thanks to Luffy.
I get it. It's okay to go right in.
The fence looks jumpable. Okay, in we go, right behind Luffy and... Oh no, there's still a lot of, guards out front. Hey, look. What part does this thin out? As they all cried.
And then, oh god damn it. There's a pair of, two buildings next to each other and...
Darn it, I'm stuck!
Luffy's stuck between two thin buildings. What is it with Luffy and getting stuck between things?
I thought I could jump into the mansion, but I'm stuck. I can't move. If I don't hurry.
Man, I need backup in the mayor's bedroom office. The guards on the third floor have been wiped out. What are you talking about? Aren't Kaku and Lucci up here? Oh, Mr. Talistone, look there. Oh!
As he sees the man with the bear mask and Lucci and Kaku's corpses. But, ah, the pigeon's crying.
Cuckoo! Kaku! Lucci!
Well, well. If we don't complete our mission soon, there'll be no end to this. No signal yet.
And it's another cliffhanger.
Oh my god. Hopefully this cliffhanger will be resolved in...
Chapter 344, Opposing Force.
Kidachu's Unexpected Life on the Blue Sea, Volume 28, The Men's Bath. And yep, sure enough, it's the locals of Alabaster just relaxing at the men's bath.
My god, Pell has a nasty scar on his collarbone.
Ugh. Alright.
I think that's from when he did survive that explosion when he carried the bomb from Alabasta. He didn't walk away unscathed, I guess, or fly since he has that falcon double fruit. Alright, it's your turn.
How could you? Jukaku and Lucci! May Iceberg, I better be safe! As he prepares to swing at the bareheaded man. Why not check for yourself? Iron body. And no, one hit and the hammer just shatters. No way! Mr. Tarstone's giant hammer! He broke it with his fist! And he just grabs Tarstone by his arm. Are you proud of your strength? What's this? I can't move. I can't be loosened to him in strength. And no, sure enough, he lost him in strength with just one punch to the face.
And yeah, Tilestone is out. He's already made an indent on the floor already. And yeah, Tilestone's out, and Kaku and Lucci are seemingly dead. With one blow, three Doc, one Foreman are down for the count! As the bear mask man just turns back to the office. Call downstairs for backup! But I think the bear man takes care of them. As the cuts to the back to the outside. There's Roronoa Zoro! He's finally shown himself! I saw the woman this afternoon, too! Yeah, they're chasing after Luffy. Nope, not Luffy. Nami, Zoro, and Chopper. I saw this woman this afternoon, too! Why isn't Luffy here already? Don't let the criminals escape as straw pirates like I know! Blast, the way that things are going, whatever we do, it looks like they've caught us red-handed. Huh? Wait, Zoro, what are you doing?
It's pointless being chased around the mansion. We're going to charge into the front entrance and look for Robin.
But there were shipwrights. They are the enemy.
It'll be okay. I used their sword backs. Out of my way as he racks them all over the back ends of his swords. But they go down. A bit of blood coming out of them. You can still kill people. Bah. You can still kill people like that, you know. Oh, and outside. Finally got out. That was pretty bad as he's standing out on top of the Twin Towers.
I wish you wouldn't call him that.
I'm gonna charge in this time. I'm gonna catch Robin. Gub gub rocket! As he uses his stretch arms to propel himself forward.
And then we go back to the mayor's room with Robin and Iceberg staring each other down. As the chaos outside is the backdrop for the ambiance. Oh my, this is certainly a surprise. I never dreamed we'd be meeting here, Nico Robin. Have we met before? Last night was the first time, but I've always wanted to meet you. As Iceberg reaches for a gun, but Robin apparently pulls out four.
So you could kill me? That's right. Before you destroy the whole world. Since antiquity, searching for research and decoding the Punic glyphs has been classified by the government as a global high crime, you must know that. How do you know about the Punic glyphs? Simply knowing of their existence is a crime, but in all likelihood, the only person in the world who can now decipher the writing is you. That's precisely why the government put such a high bounty on your head. Even though at the time you were only an 8-year-old girl. Oh, wait. Just us reading them is a crime? What the?
Mm-hmm.
In all the world, you're the only one. The only person who can't reactivate the ancient weapons.
Yeah, you remember why Crocodile hired her in the first place?
Oh, yeah.
You even knew about the weapons. So CP9 was an actual organization. That means you've already left the Straw Hat Pirates and are working for the government, doesn't it? A strange move for a woman said to have been relentlessly pursued by the government. But that's got nothing to do with me. If, through the decoding of the Poneglyphs, the weapon is reactivated, it won't matter if the person who possesses it is just or evil. The result will be the same, as he pulls back the safety. You can't expect weapons to bring peace to the world of mankind. The whole world will be destroyed. The evils of the past should not be reawakened! You're right. I think that myself. But you're way out of line. You don't know me at all. You have no right to tell me how I should research history. That's not true, in a way. I'm in the same position as you are.
I hold the blueprints for a weapon of the ancient world, the Pluton. The blueprints for a weapon? Pluton is the name of a battleship that was built on this island a long time ago.
Remember what Crocodile was looking for?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's here. The weapon they made was too powerful. The ancient shipbuilding engineers thought that an opposing force would be needed. The unlikely event that it went out of control, so they passed the blueprints down through the generations. The government wants them. And they end up going to extreme measures to get them. They think you'll help them without knowing that. That's shocking. Tom, the men who entrusted the blueprints to me, always worried about a lone girl who'd
escaped from the O'Hara incident 20 years ago. He thought she was a threat, despite her age, because she shared the ideas of the demons of O'Hara. So, out of consideration for the weapons makers, it is my duty to stop you. Now that the government is aware the blueprints exist, it would be simply better to burn them, but...
Doing that won't be enough because you're alive, as he gets ready to shoot her. Because there's still the chance you might find a way to reactivate the weapon, as Robin summons more arms to bound him and choke him. And then she sits on top of him and points a gun right to his head. Is that all you want to say before you die? I beg to differ. Even if you had killed me, your blueprints would have been stolen. The result would have been the same. Oh my. Let me just say one more thing. Huh? You're the ones who have fallen for my ruse.
And we cut back to the hall. Blood dripping everywhere. Your resistance is resistance against us is futile. What's his name again?
Polly.
Polly, yeah. Blood dripping, gripping, and the blueprints, now that we know what they are. Come now, hand it over before you get blood all over it. Curse you, I thought I could win. As he passes out. Mayor Iceberg did tell me to run away at once, just threat a run. Because the blueprints are fake! Oh, another twist! Damn. Yep. And another cliffhanger. Okay, I'll be over this time.
Wow, one question. In chapter 297 of volume 32, how come Luffy could make the big snap crackle thing Kingdom Come appear? Also, what was the electric discharge that Nami was talking about? I looked into it, but I couldn't figure it out. Please help me out, okay? Crush.
Right. How should I explain this? To begin with, the important thing really is that you've had the power of that scene. Then everything's okay, so... First off, Kingdom Come is a cluster of thunderclouds. Think of kind of thunderclouds as clumps of stress with lots of static electricity in them. The thundercloud thinks it wants to take the stress out of something. What comes down at that point is lightning. The kind that people mean when they say, "Hey, a tree just got hit by lightning," or "You might have got struck by lightning." Lightning is an electrical discharge, but electrical discharge aren't limited to occurring outside the cloud. Sometimes that snap cracker stress is released inside the cloud itself. And then it's called sheet lightning. Gold conducts electricity, so when Luffy plunges into Kingdom Come with the gold ball, the snap cracker stress in Kingdom Come discharges inside the cloud and vanishes. But, you know, it's not like Luffy knew what he was doing either. It's okay, just be glad the weather cleared up. Skypiea is still peaceful to this day. Here ends the question corner.
And then begins chapter 345, Sleepers.
Gigatsu's unexpected life in the Blue Sea, volume 29. The woman's bath, and sure enough, it's a woman's bath and the bane of your existence in the right corner.
Who, the Kung Fu Dugongs. Confirming that, they have to crossbreed at some point, so I imagine there had to be female ones. And, yeah, I guess it's just them, Vivi, and Terracottas is Egram's wife's name. I just remembered. All right, is it my turn or is it it's my turn, I think.
Let's see.
It's mine.
You, yeah.
So, Polly is now, after he revealed to the man in the mask that the blueprints are fake, and you can't really tell because of the eyes, but he's stunned. Fake! What an idiotic thing to do. I don't know who you are or where you're from, but I guess your big plan just fell apart. Serves you right. It's a pity I don't even know what you're after. You cheeky little... In any case, even if you were just a decoy, you still know too much. We can't let you live. And then there's a loud crash behind them that alerts both Polly and the two masked men.
It's Luffy. He just broke through
through the wall, but he's stuck halfway.
I'm stuck, Don. I'm stuck. Straw Hat? Huh? Hey, it's the rope guy. What's going on? Are you okay? You're covered in blood. This is the third floor. What's going on with you?
Straw Hat Luffy. Did you come all this way to take the blame?
Hey, Master, are they masked? Then it must be you guys. You're the ones who told Robin to do stuff. Give Robin back, you jerks.
But the skull-headed man, Tempest Kick.
And he sends out like a discharge from his leg to kick at Luffy, but Luffy gets himself out of the wall just in time. And as he dodges, he notices that the skull man just cleaved the wall in half just from kicking the air. You cut the wall with a kick! Ugh. And then the bull man sneaks up behind Luffy and gets him with his foot. And then he bounds him to the floor with these
bunch
little
metal prong-like things.
Yeah, it's like it's binding him.
It's an emergency, you see.
I can't move.
I don't have time to deal with you right now. Hey, stop him too. This is no time to be fighting. Right. As a bunch of loud claims are heard.
Pling, pling, pling.
And that's still me. It's me. There's been a hitch in a plan. All members were put to the bedroom at once. But if you do, do not shoot Iceberg yet. And back in the grounds, we see the thorny whip woman with... Oh, fuck, what's his name?
Lulu.
Lulu. I must be going. I have business elsewhere. What? You're going to run? No.
And the thorny whip woman, as Austin put it, does the tiger drop to Lulu, because tiger drops negate all damage, don't you know? And Lulu falls to the ground. I have business elsewhere, so this ends now. And then they run off. No way, Mr. Lulu, just that's not possible with one blow. Wait, he took off again as the masked woman heads up to the roof. And then now it's back to Luffy and Polly, who are now both down to the floor. Hey, mister, you okay?
It's nothing. I survived worse. Straw Hat, why did you come here? Everyone thinks you're the criminals. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm used to being chased. Anyway, the mask guy took one of my crew. I came to get her back.
That must be Nico Robin. You're strong in a fight, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm strong. Think you could beat them?
You bet I can. Then fight with me. I want to win, too. You do? Well... Yeah, you think I'm gonna let Miss Mayor Iceberg get killed by idiots nobody knows from who knows where?
As determination and it overflows from him.
He taught me everything I know. Made me a proper shipwright. But look at you, you're a mess.
I'm telling you, I want to beat those idiots to a pulp.
You think I care what happens to me after that?
I'll fight until I'm down to a single bone.
I'm off course, you. All right, I'll fight with you.
Okay. And it's back to the outside the bedroom. And then someone picks up Lucci's hat. And then they go into the bedroom. And all four of the masked men and Robin have arrived in Iceberg's room. Go home. There's nothing to hand over. Well, then we have a problem. And then Hatori, the pigeon, lands on the bull man's shoulders for some reason. And then the bull man goes to take off his mask. What should I tell first to a dying man? And he removes his hat and mask and...
Oh, plot twist. You've let me down. Lucci!
Yeah, he can talk. The whole thing with the pigeon was a ruse.
You're the one in the wrong.
Kaku!
None of this would have happened if you handed them over to the government when I asked nicely.
What the fuck? We wanted to leave town without hurting you. If we could. Caliphah.
Did you also get your stubborn streak for your master?
The governor ball. Bruno. Bruno. You're working for the government, but... Wait a
Turn
minute.
The page.
How could they, how do those guys... I could have been beaten up out there.
Did you look in the small panels? They're they're body doubles. Like, Kaku's nose is taped on. It's like a taped on box.
Oh, wow.
I am so glad this twist wasn't ruined for you, because this rocked everybody's world when it was revealed.
Holy shit.
You get the last spread, by the way.
Cipher Pole number 9. Undercover intelligence agency under the direct control of the world government. Correct. Well, us going undercover is the easiest thing in the world, but... You just had to go and make things difficult. We're the blueprint of the ancient weapon Pluton. Tell us now before more innocent people are harmed. Oh my god.
I am so glad that twist was never ruined for you.
I didn't see that coming.
Yes! And you played Pirate Warriors and somehow that wasn't ruined for you.
No, I don't remember that. All I remember was Frankie getting his speedo stolen. What the fuck?
Oh.
What the fuck?
Oh, man. I was looking forward to this episode for sure. And here's the crazy part. We still have one more to go. And that chapter is... Chapter 346, The Ninth Justice.
Gedatsu's Unexpected Life on a Blue Sea, Volume 30. Gedatsu, the Blue Sea Boss.
More like,
and so enough, he's...
More like Gedatsu, the Blue Sea Cashier.
Oh, God.
Just going for that picture, I'm like, nah, he's working front desk.
Yeah, it looks like a convenient smart lever set with the drinks in the cooler, the cash register.
Yeah, it's like bottles of water with like the little cloth wrappings on the top. And the register's right there. Yeah. Well, sometimes when you're short staff, management has to work the front. I know how it is. All right, you're beginning our final chapter of the episode.
And it's back outside with Soro putting his swords away. Don't worry, I use the back of my blade. Why did you cut down all the shipwrights? Soro's so strong. Oh, well, let's get going. So this way. Yep, no, this way. I'm leading out to go the wrong way. Is it a miracle? And Luffy trying to get out of the restraints and his... Oh, God, his face is scrunched. He's going to step on his neck stretch out. Ugh, I'm out because I'm rubber. Nice going. Okay, get mine off. That Bull and Skull, I better watch out.
Not to be confused with Bull and Skull. And then we go back to CP9, who we now know the identities of. We've been undercover for 5 years. Don't worry. We took our regular jobs very seriously. I understand that you're dejected, but the time we can devote to this matter has come to an end. We will achieve our goal by any means necessary. If you're fighting just to fight, I suggest you give up now. You've heard the name Cipher Pole. CP1 through CP8 are the government's top intelligence agencies stationed in 8 bases around the world. They seek out information anywhere as the government orders them to. Yes, I know of them, but only up to CP8. And of course, yet we are CP9, the ninth Cipher Pole, which shouldn't exist. Because of a certain privilege, we can't operate in the open. Even though that privilege serves justice, if civilians aren't cooperating with the government...
We're allowed to execute them. That's egotistical. As if just killing is even possible. Well, some who are in power have reconsidered their way of thinking. While they continue to live in fear of the weapon's reactivation, we should activate the weapon and put an end to this age of great voyages. We should use the weapon as a force for justice. Yet, you would dare stand in our way. Even now, people the world over have been victimized by pirates. And you're saying you won't help them? This conversation is pointless. If you reactivate the weapon, the world will fight for control of that power, and the damage will only be greater. You seem to mistrust the government, Mayor Iceberg. I'm just no human nature, boy.
And Lucci kicks him square in the face. And he really roughed him up with that one as he falls to the ground.
Watch your tongue. You're not my boss anymore.
Kaku, check his pulse. As Kaku walks over and grabs his wrist.
Pardon me.
Mayor Iceberg, to tell the truth, a short while ago we came up with a theory. All you have to do is listen. I'm sure your pulse will tell us the truth. First, your ploy of giving us the fake blueprints. We have doubts about it. You guessed that the culprit was from the government and leaked the whereabouts of the fakes. But what if it had been someone with a grudge who had come to kill you? The real blueprints would lose their owner and cease to be handed down. You're smart enough to consider that. The fact that, despite this, you've made no move to pass the real blueprints on tonight means that you've already entrusted them to someone.
At the very least, you no longer have them near you. Or we can assume we're still theorizing here. Of course, we have no positive proof, even in the 5 years we spent observing you undercover. It's pointless, don't struggle. Nothing in your actions indicate that you've picked a successor. Moreover, the one entrusted with the blueprints would need sufficient skill. Now then, let's continue with the theory. Here is where it gets interesting. Just now, you had this belief that we had taken a fake blueprint, and, if you look closely, the names of the designers are written on them. Oh, wait, that's... Is that you or me?
It's, you're still going.
Oh, wait. Tom Iceberg, Cutty Flam, and finally, the company's name, Tom Workers.
Tom's Workers.
You may have... Tom's Workers. You may have planned to outwit your enemy with these fakes, but you never dreamed that your enemy would be looking close by. That was a miscalculation. This would be no more than waste paper and to an intruder who slipped in yesterday or today, with the signs and the blueprints, but we have lived here 5 years. We're very interested in the names of the designers.
Tom's workers, led by the legendary shipwright Tom, is shrouded in mystery. They must have been on this island once, but no roster or register exists. It was no easy task finding out that you had been one of Tom's apprentices. According to recent reports from the government, Tom only had 2 apprentices. A government agent confirmed that one of them died in an accident 8 years ago. Or so we were meant to believe. However, I remember hearing the name Cutty Flam. It's been about 4 years now. A man passed through the gates of the Gaia Law Company to visit you. That was the only time he gave his real name. I remember. Me too. In other words, as Iceberg's pulse is getting increasingly faster, Tom's other apprentice, Cutty Flam, is alive. Even now, here in this town.
And he's changed his name to Frankie? What?
Oh yeah, like I told you!
So, Cutty Flam... is Frankie, and he worked on the supposed Pluton?
Or he was named as a successor. He worked in the same company as Iceberg.
Oh. Seems there's no mistake. Who'd have thought you and he had that connection as they can detect Hector's reaction to his pulse? No matter how much we investigated Frankie, we weren't able to uncover his background. We ignored him since he was a dismantler and a straggling oaf. Of course, our predictions relied on facts. He created a perfect blind spot with a dead man. The Frankie family comes here to sell lumber to the shipbuilding lot. With careful planning, you would have had countless chances to give him a blueprint. Now that I think about it, he was closest to you, and yet you kept a safe distance. Your earlier boldness can be explained if you no longer had a blueprint, if you gave them to your fellow apprentice. Then I could see you're not leaving them to your trusty foreman. From these facts we can deduce a single conclusion. And your racing pulse has told us that we have hit the nail on the head.
Haha, because you were a carpenter. And then Nami and Chopper running towards the mayor's bedroom. There! It's that door straight ahead! I'm sure of it! All these people on the ground! Okay, straight ahead! Cut the doors, Zoro! Let's get there! Don't order me around! And then, yep, Polly is now yelling at Luffy. Hey, Straw Hat! Ah, you idiot! Not this room! It's the next door! What? Next door? And then back to Iceberg's room. We don't have anything against you.
A lot has happened tonight. Being able to hide on one shock under such conditions is normal for any human being. Thanks for all you did for us over the years. We're done here. Let's hurry and find Frankie.
Why you?
But then, cracks start to form in the wall behind them, and Robin looks over.
Yeah, Luffy just plows right through that wall.
Not just Luffy.
Oh, and
Polly's behind them. Polly's Zoro too. Cut the door on the other side. They're surrounded now.
Where's Robin? Luffy! Luffy! Meddlers, to be continued in One Piece. Volume 37. Oh, shit.
And there's no SBS.
Oh, my God. No SBS, just a coloring page, and my God.
All right, now okay, go off, King. I want to hear it.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised I was never spoiled about that twist.
Am too.
I played a bit of Pirates Warriors 4 and
Rob Lucci's playable.
What the? Oh my God! And I could never imagine his own trusted crew were fucking top intelligent officers in a fucking world government. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's because they're good at their job.
And Robin, it's the only reason she has a bounty on her in the first place is because she can read the poneglyphs. Like, that's literally the only reason?
On its face, and the too long didn't read version is yes. This will be explained as we progress further. But, yeah. And also, Frankie's real name is not Frankie. Well, no wonder he changed it. His original name sucks.
I don't blame him.
It sounds like the name of a preschool television cartoon character. It's like Springtime with Cuddy Flam or something like that. I'm just picturing
I thought you said Cuddy Flam.
I'm just picturing a mascot costume for that character. Hello, it's me, Cuddy Flam. That's when I think of that name, I think that there's probably some historical significance to it, but that's where my mind goes. That being said,
so this is.
Go ahead. If you're not done, go on. I want to hear it.
Definitely going to be one of the more memorable arcs so far for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with all these twists and turns, I can only imagine how it could end.
Oh, and I think all of the ways you imagine it's going to end are all wrong, because I remember how this... I remember the important beats of all of these arcs, and I'm like, he ain't going to guess how this ends. No, he's not. And I look forward to hearing your reactions to the rest of it. So until then, thank you guys all so much for listening. And if you want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/superbonusround, where you get access to episodes a week before they go out to the public, and also access to our commentary tracks for our movie reviews, which the reviews themselves will always be free, but if you want to watch along with us, that's the only way to do it. Until then, I have been John Mugiwara, GM.
And I've been Jad Peanut.
And join us next time for episode 78 of the podcast, where we'll be reading chapters 347 to 351. Oh, we're getting close to that 400 and also our 100. But remember, when binging the devil's fruit, make sure you eat it slowly, enjoy it. And you better make sure it's fruit and not actually working for the government secretly plotting to kill you. Have a good one, y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for binging the devil's fruit with us today. If you'd like to support the podcast for just $3 a month, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/superbonusround. This gets you exclusive access to episodes 1 week before they go out to the public, and also exclusive access to the commentary tracks for our movies and special reviews. The reviews themselves will always be free to everybody, but the commentary tracks are exclusive. Again, that's patreon.com/superbonusround. Thank you for your support.